What about Jerry? Think Jerry would?
There's no way Jerry's going to follow those instructions that Professor Feather just said.
Oh, you will. Oh, you will.
That's true.
This might be the best episode
ever. Shut up your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Here, we'll play this music for the intro of this episode. And here we go.
Let's go Serbia. This is Dr. Ta.
This is Professor Heather.
This is the Midnight Resources. Get fly.
This is Dr. Max Headroom Head. And you are watching and listening to and experiencing...
Radio.
What's he telling you? Shh. You're screaming.
Who's leading this one? Jerry wants to know.
Jerry can lead it.
Leading this one, Jerry.
Oh, this
I'm
is not
sorry.
This is not.
I was caught up in our drama.
Oh, yeah, this is not. This is not a Jerry-rigged episode.
This is not. This is not. We're just gonna wing it this week. Gonna talk about what we've been watching, what you've been reading, what you've been doing. You know, just a general, see what's going on. And we're gonna start this out with Midnight Gadfly. What have you been doing? What have you been watching? What have you been seeing? What's happening, man?
I watched Gladiator 2. And
the
it
porn?
Was it was Gladiator 2. Not you know, not bad, but definitely not Ridley Scott. It's not Ridley Scott. So I'll leave it at that. I would say it's worth watching. It's entertaining, but it tries to be Ridley Scott and it's not. I will say this: they got great actors, and the performances are great. Directing's fine. What I would recommend, and I think is weird, is Wire in the Blood,
yes.
Which is a TV show from the early 2000s, England, Britain, and it is weird. And it's weird the whole way through. The main character, I would swear, he's like some sort of a psychologist who profiles, but he also kind of assumes the mindset of the people they're chasing. But what I like about him is I think he's on the spectrum. Like, he plays as if he is one of the mental patients that is also struggling with his own personality. A lot of good actors, a lot of interesting premise. So I don't know. Has anybody here seen it? Wire in the Blood?
I've got it on my list. I just haven't had a chance to look at it because I thought it looked kind of interesting.
Yeah. It was, you know, British shows don't last more than two or three seasons.
Usually, yes.
Some secret?
No.
Oh.
And your birthday.
It's our own drama here. This is our
I know,
own.
That's what I said.
It's Tar in the Blood.
That's right. Mute the fucking mic.
I wish I can't. You can mute him.
Can you?
Can.
He can.
He can. Yeah. Okay. He's muted.
All right.
All right. So that's fine. I've been watching a lot of other stuff. Like, I would, if you don't have Shudder, watch the Joe Bob Briggs stuff. But I would say watch the stuff that's just Joe Bob Briggs, because you get to see all the interstitials and you get to see how he is clearly this weird kind of almost gonzo writer himself. So very, very interesting dude. That's it for me.
Dr. Head.
I've been watching The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that show. That is so good. We're just a couple episodes into season two. We were like contemplating, like, oh, do we binge this, or do we like just milk it, you know? And like, we've been milking it because it's so good. I don't want to blow through it.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not watched it, it's a story about a family who run a mega church, and it's just about the best example of the worst kinds of Christians in the world you could ever want. It's a business. The business of being a Christian.
One of the best casts ever.
Yeah.
The entire cast, everybody in that show is absolutely great. And there again, it's not just the acting, directing, the writing. The writing has a lot to do with it, but they're all really good, you know? That's one of my favorite new series to come down the road, you know.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed that, loved it to death, man.
John Goodman is spectacular. The cast is great. The woman who plays Judy, she's just so fucking over the top.
Yes.
And her performances and like the things they say. I want to pray the Lord to give me a man, and I want him to go down my butthole. You know, come on, I pray for that. Yeah, amen. You deserve that. He's going to lick my butthole. You know, it's just like, oh my God. And they're like in the middle of public and having lunch, and just like they're the worst people in the world. It's like if the cast of It's Sunny in Philadelphia owned a church.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like that.
Good comparison.
The worst people in the world, but by God, it's black humor. It's jet black. It's wicked funny. It is consistently good, over the top. And now Eric Roberts' character has, you know, from the past has come in. I'm like, what a brilliant choice. And seeing this side of, you know, of Eli Gemstone, you know, like the going back into his past, into his, you know, his maniac kid days. You know, no one's gonna fuck with the Gemstones. Like, you just say that. I mean, no one's gonna fuck with the Gemstones. Such a funny, caustic show. God, is it funny? Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. I think I've only watched the whole thing once. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm about ready to go back and
season four is coming out. It's getting ready to drop. Yeah, so we're halfway through season two or so, a third of the way through season two, and we've just been loving it. Like, oh my God, it's intense, it's funny, it's shocking, hysterical, and like I there are times where I'm like, how in the world are they just not all like busting up? Like, I want to see.
Oh, I bet you the outtakes are tremendous.
Because I know there's got to be a lot of ad lib on this, because it's I know the writing's stellar, but like, and then the performance is so, you know, Mrs. Head and I are going to start adopting the Gemstone, you know, where we kiss our fingers and raising to the sky. I said, we got to start doing that.
Yeah.
Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah. Yeah. Good show. Good show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gentlemen, you got to excuse me. I did not prepare myself. I have to get something to drink.
So good.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We'll do. And Righteous.
By Gemstones,
you talk about.
Is Tar still muted?
No, he's not. Walton Goggins is like everywhere. So he is. Do you guys watch Invincible?
I saw the first season. Great.
Yeah. Second season is half okay, the other half great, and they promised not to do a mid-season break with it. But it's great. Well, I was just watching that, and then there's
what's
another...
What's that? Say again?
We're talking about Invincible. Walton Goggins and Invincible, because Walton Goggins is everywhere.
He is.
The other one is, what did I just watch that he's in? It's based on a video game that is actually really good. Fallout on Amazon. If you've not seen Fallout.
Oh, yeah.
It's the video game. It's amazing. It's really good show. If you've not seen it, I highly recommend it. Anything made out of a video game is iffy, but that really... And because I think that video game has a really good lore, they have a really good, solid story that has taken them through all of the three or four or five games that they have. And I've not played them. I used to just watch my son play them. And I'm like, you can't play this unless I'm here, because I need to know what happens next. You know what I mean? And there was a couple of games that he did like that. So it was great. I would just sit there and I'd do some work and I'd be watching. It was like watching a movie. But I would highly recommend watching Fallout. And again, Walton Goggins, fucking always.
He's Walton never, Goggins,
yeah,
always
yeah,
good.
Yeah, never delivers a bad performance.
So. Right. Okay. Is Tar still muted?
No.
He is now.
Oh, he is now.
He is again. He stepped up. Now he's back to the plate. He's unmute.
Unmute
me! Ring! No! Your bells!
Just... What have you been watching, Tar?
Not too much. I just discovered
Next.
Nigel and Marmalade.
What?
Which
what
is that? I think they're just hilarious little animated bits. And there's like all these, I guess it became popular on Twitter and YouTube. But anyway, I just found them. I thought they were funny. They were kind of like, remind me of South Park. Things like that. But, yeah, the humor made me laugh. Nigel and Marmalade.
Looking it up.
Yeah, I saw a few family-friendly things that were really good. One was 8-Bit Christmas, which was a lot like A Christmas Story, and also kind of combined the elements of A Christmas Story and elements of the overall story arc of, or the book ending of Princess Bride, where dad's talking to his daughter because he has this old like Nintendo system, and she was telling her about how great the system was back in the 80s and how he got one back in the day when he was a kid in the 80s. And it is so charming, and it's so sweet, you know, and it's funny and well-written, and the performances are good. It's genuinely enjoyable. And then also the, was it A Christmas Story story? Or what was the sequel? You know, like the direct
Pretty
sequel
good.
The same
yeah.
cast? Yep. Way better than I expected. I was thinking, oh, God, don't mess with this, because A Christmas Story is so good, but, oh, this was really beautifully done, and lovingly so, a loving tribute to the original. So if you like A Christmas Story, I would definitely, yeah, those were both really fun, and very nostalgic, you know, and some genuine... genuine feels, which really kind of surprised me. I didn't expect it to be so wonderfully done. And those are
agreed.
Good.
Has anybody else seen it?
No.
Oh, I would recommend it. I was too. I put it off for a long time, and I watched it, and I'm like, yeah, pretty good. I have a good.
Which one? Which one are we talking about? Sorry,
Christmas Story 2. The second.
Oh no, I have seen that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Did you like it?
Not particularly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was much better than I expected.
I thought it was okay. That movie for me is magic. That movie is pure magic for me.
Yep.
And they didn't reproduce that magic. You know, it just wasn't there in the second one. But
you
I
mean the Christmas Story Christmas or the Christmas Story the
I don't know.
The
fuck,
there was one that came out like in 2022. That's the one we're talking about. It has Ralphie in it. And there's the original cast.
Maybe I didn't see that one.
There was one that came out like in the 90s or
that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, there's another one? Yeah, it came out in 2022. It's called A Christmas Story Christmas.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, that's the one we're talking about.
Sorry.
That's really good. That's actually quite good.
Yeah, I like the very first one.
Absolutely.
You know,
but it's got Peter Billingsley in it. It's got Schwartz in it.
And they're all old, right?
They're all older, yeah. And it's kind of, you know, Ralphie comes home and it's kind of about recreating some Christmas memories. You know, there's a little bittersweetness to it because, you know, his dad's dead, and you know, and but it's really so sweet. But I know the one you're talking about, Professor Feather, and that one's hot garbage. That one's not good.
Okay.
But this one really is.
Yeah.
A Christmas Story, right. Christmas, yeah. 2022 with Peter Billingsley.
Yeah, I'd have
Wonderful.
To look at that one. Yeah.
And the Hulk.
I reserve my judgment because the first one, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen it, and it's
every
just
Christmas.
Magic.
Every Christmas,
Christmas
and multiple
every
times.
Christmas.
We used to have it on because it used to USA Network or one of
USA
them.
USA and TBS, both.
Yeah, they would
have it repeat over and over, and we would just have that on the background. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a great.
And they did it so much that like, I really did get tired of it after a while. It's like, I need a break from this.
Yeah, just go watch something else.
Well, I've got I have a good Darren McGavin story. Do you remember Dead Heat? About the two cops, Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams, and Williams dies. If you ever watch that... But if you watch it, the dialogue and the acting is phenomenal. Like, the way the cast does everything is amazing. It's a ridiculous movie. But the reason that is because even if Darren McGavin wasn't in a scene, he would make everybody run lines all the time. Anytime they were not shooting, he would make them run lines. And he goes, he got Treat Williams so into it that Treat Williams would be calling the director up in the middle of the night going, what if my character did this? So I'm dead now. And what if I did this? You know? And I would say it's a ridiculous movie. It's a total 80s, early 90s movie. But you watch it, and it's tight. Like, those people take it seriously. They take it seriously.
Pre-Joe Piscopo muscular?
No, it's post-Joe Piscopo muscular. And you can tell that they're like, you just be Joe Piscopo, right? And so they just let him be as ridiculous and stupid as he is. But it works, you know. And I love it. It's
been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Well, I love it because the makeup for Treat Williams when he's dead is all over the place. One scene, it's one thing. One next scene, it's another. It is like there's no consistency whatsoever.
Is that the one where that they have like a big side of beef and it's like
it's where they have, when it's ridiculous because they've got that thing that rejuvenates life, and they have one in the lab where Vincent Price is, right? Vincent Price is the mad scientist. Yeah. And then they have one above a butcher shop for some reason. And so they go into the butcher shop and it gets turned on and all the sides of beef, everything that's dead in there starts rolling around and trying to attack people. And they did that the way they got that done was they just literally angled the butcher counter so that things would roll down it. And it was real simple.
Kind of like in... was that Return of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
When all the medical specimens come to life, you know. That was an awesome scene. That was a really good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
even the butterfly collection flapping the wings. That was good.
Return of the Living Dead, is that the one where they find the vats? And the vats?
No, it's
a barrel of military.
Yeah, barrel. That's what I meant, the barrel, yeah. Okay.
And it gets opened up, and the gas comes out.
That's where they get the zombie that walks in a certain way that is so fucked up, and that's an actor.
And they're like skinless, all slippery looking, and dark, and like the tar man.
Tar man.
Yeah, and then the zombies are they talk. You know,
I love that movie. That is so
cool. Send like more our next paramedic. Episode of Heavy Metal.
Send more paramedics.
Because we do a slugfest between Dawn of the Dead and Return. Yeah, that's a great scene. I saw that in the drive-in. And it was so fun to see that movie. It's the comedy horror. They do it really well.
I walked in skeptical, but it made me laugh.
Same for me.
Yeah. What's the one where it's in the mall?
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, yeah.
So.
That's number two.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that where they
zombie two?
Isn't that where they say send more cars? Or no. Is that Return?
No, that's Return.
Dawn of the Dead is no. They don't have a Return of Living Dead in the mall, though.
He was asking who send more cops.
Send more paramedics is in Return of Living Dead. Yeah, Return 1985. Right. Send more paramedics, more police. You know, and then brains. They're talking like why they eat brains because it hurts.
I confuse those two. Yeah, I confuse those two. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead came out in 1978. That was the sequel to Night of the Living Dead. And it takes place.
Which is pretty intense when I first saw it. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It takes place in a mall. Yeah.
Whole different fields, much more nihilistic and bleak. It. You know?
The third one is even more so. It's even more bleak where they're in that, they're contained in that military.
Shelter. Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead, yeah.
Day of the Dead.
That was all right.
I can't watch that one. I mean, I can obviously, but it just nothing happens. It's just so talky.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah. But I kind of like that. But I wish they would have expanded more on that. The zombie that kind of recognized.
I think.
You know what I mean? The thinking. Yeah. I guess the initial idea was to have like a squad or a group of them.
Zombie that Squad.
Supposed to be.
Then they keep on going. I remember Romero did like Land of the Dead, and like it's, you know, the zombies are everywhere, and then it turns into more like post-apocalyptic, and that's, it's got Professor Feathers in it. Dennis Hopper, you know, he's
Dennis
in
Hopper,
it.
Yes.
Yeah. And
not that great a movie.
No. And he's did it a few more since then. Diary of the Dead. You know, just
same,
like,
it's always the same stuff, though. Just
yeah. I think they jumped the shark a long time ago.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Well, I have more time than you guys, so I've like watched probably 10 movies, and you know this. But here's an interesting one. I just watched Gadfly, one of my favorite movies, The Zero Effect.
Ah, great.
And I watched it and I got done and I went, God damn you, Gadfly, you're right. What's so special about this movie? It's not a very good movie. And it's a Ben Stiller movie, Dr. Head.
Yay, I'll He's go see it. It next week.
I will give it credit. He is a subdued Ben Stiller. He actually plays a kind of a straight role.
Okay.
And Bill Pullman plays the crazy detective. He's a recluse. When the movie came out, I just died. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And I just watched it like a couple of days ago, and I went, okay, that was kind of funny. This is not funny. This is boring. Oh, this is not good. This just, and it, I, you know. I felt bad because I really liked that movie. And now I don't like it.
I still like it.
I don't like it as much as I it's okay, but I raved about it. That was my point. I had raved about it, saying it was such a great movie.
Yeah.
I go back and go, no, this is an okay movie. It's an okay movie, but
you've changed. Your taste in movies are where you're at. You've changed, and that's okay. That happens.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You know? And it's kind of okay. Sad, you know, not know which.
Put your hand right on my shoulder.
it is sad though, because you don't know which of those movies that they're not the nostalgia driven are going to be, are would hold up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
so there's a lot that don't.
It's kind of sad when something like that. I'm going that I felt that strongly about a movie at that point. But now I look at it and go, okay, you know, it's okay movie, but geez, you know.
My problem with that movie when I saw it was Kim Dickens, who plays Joni. And I did not like her part. I thought it was very, very flat. Like
very
It just didn't read. You know, everything else I really liked. I love the fact that he's sitting there and he's this kind of troubled guy. And instead of doing cocaine, he eats tuna fish. You know, like Sherlock Holmes. You know, he's always eating cans of tuna fish. You know, I'm a big Bill Pullman fan anyway, so that's good. I forgot that Ben Stiller was in it.
Ben Stiller's his front man.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer, and he, Daryl Zero, doesn't talk to the clients or anything.
Right.
The clients don't even know what he looks like or any of that, because he's a master of disguise too. He goes, it reminded me of what's the Chevy Chase movie?
Fletch
reminds me of Fletch, in that, you know, always having the different disguises and stuff. Some of that was kind of funny. The interaction between him and Ben Stiller, because Ben Stiller is like kind of the real even keel guy.
Yep.
And he's that's what I think the reason that Bill Pullman pulls it off to a degree. But then the story really falls flat when he gets involved with the girl and how that all develops.
Yeah.
It just falls down, you know. It's just not as good. And it was Jake Kasdan's first effort, I think. You know, so didn't he? What did he go on to? He went on to do some stuff, didn't he? Jake Kasdan, maybe not. I don't know. There's some Kasdan guy.
Isn't
out
that
there.
Lawrence? It's Lawrence Kasdan's son or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's his son.
Well,
watch that.
Speaking of Ben Stiller, I'll throw this in there. Tropic Thunder. If you've not seen that, I just saw it again. It holds up. It is hilarious. It's
all those guys.
Everybody in it. Yeah, and Tom Cruise's part. And he's like, it's funny. You listen when we listened to the commentary when I had the DVD, and Robert Downey Jr. remained in his black man part for the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise goes, I'll be in the movie, but I got to dance, and I gotta have fat fingers. That was like literally his whole thing.
That was funny.
Fat finger thing. Well, I didn't know it was him when I first saw the movie. I had no idea it was him until there was a point where I'm like, going, wait a minute, there's something very familiar about this guy.
Yes.
And then he did a move in the dance, and you're like, that's fucking Tom Cruise. Holy shit.
I
love
that. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good scene. Yep. I like that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's okay. But I just thought that was curious. I just had just rewatched that. Then, on the other hand, I just finished Videodrome, which I had not seen for quite a while. And I'm happy to say it holds up quite well. Quite well. It is a very predictive storyline. And, And you know me, I just delves into that, what is real and what is not, you know? And Videodrome really goes at it because, you know, the basic premise is you watch this video and it creates a tumor in your brain. And it's in a certain spot that makes it, makes you start hallucinating. So when you know that and you watch the rest of the movie,
and very focused,
you don't know, you know, like what is real, what is not real, and how it's, you know, and then how it's all portrayed for the camera by, you know, the brilliance of Cronenberg. I could talk about that movie for a while.
And here's,
but that movie held up quite well. I was very pleased with it. Yeah.
We went to see that movie, and I thought we were going to go see a science fiction akin to Star Wars, because we went to Napoleon in Wauseon, Ohio, to see that at the Napoleon, because that's the only indoor theater that was close to us. And it was like, as a young person, I'm like, what the fuck was that? I'm like,
I was a bit traumatized
because I had at that time I had the hugest crush on Debbie Harry. I thought she was the most gorgeous, seductive looking individual, and then I loved her.
She was pretty hot,
And then we had this movie, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? And then the second time that happens when you made me go watch Blue Velvet. Professor Feather has the double whammy. Here's Videodrome. Oh, hey, here's Blue Velvet.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
And I'm driving home going, Mommy, Mommy.
Why is Daddy saying, I need Blue Velvet, I need Blue Velvet. Give me Blue Velvet.
No, he would say, now it's dark.
Yes, that's
right, yeah.
Or he'd be like, Mommy.
I watched Saturday Night, the movie about the opening of Saturday Night Live. Yeah, the very first episode.
Is it good?
It's actually pretty good. Yeah. And I think you'll love the way it's shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get this. I'm not really spoiling anything, but if you liked Birdman and it's one continuous shot, like that magical realism feel, that's how this is shot as well. And
it just goes
from like crisis to crisis to vents to like people having like problems to, you know, the writers and the actors, and you see all the conflicts and the egos. You know, Chevy Chase does not come off as being anything but like egotistical, you know, cunt. But there's a great cameo,
which he has proved over and over time.
Yes, exactly. People just hate him. He's just so arrogant. But there's a great cameo by J.K. Simmons as Milton Berle.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fucking
great. I gotta
watch
it just for that.
You got to. It's a fantastic scene. I'm not gonna say anything more. But it is really an engaging watch, because I don't know how much of it's accurate. There's already been claptrap back, especially from Chevy Chase. But of course. But if it's half accurate, it's like you get the sense of all the shit that's going on in the 2 hours or in the hour and a half before the show opens. And just like, you know, all the fires that Lorne Michaels is trying to put out, and all the shit that he's like hoops that he's trying to jump through with censors, with the writers, with the NBC, everything they had to do to get this show on the air that first time. And Jim Henson's in it with the Muppets, because I forgot, like, oh fuck yeah, the Muppets were in these really early
I remember series. Those yeah
yeah so I'm and like all of it's there And you just go from scene to scene to scene to scene. And the guy playing Lorne Michaels is so good. The cast is really good. And it is weird seeing John Belushi and Jane Curtin, you know, Gilda Radner. Like, you see a little bit of them and their real personalities, but, you know, not the characters they're playing. And it was actually really quite good, really engaging. Yeah, I recommend it.
It's Jason Reitman did the movie, so, you know.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. It's got high potential. I mean, I remember Thank You for Smoking. I remember seeing that, and I'm like, that movie was crazy. Like, crazy good.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm just saying, that was a good movie. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you mentioned J.K. Simmons, Dr. Head. I just watched with my Jack, my great grandson, Mrs. Feather, I guess. We watched Red One.
Ah, yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah. Oh, I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Yeah, and it was fun. Good, because Jack had not seen it, so we just sat there, eating and watching.
Is,
you know,
is
and,
that the one with the Rock?
Yes.
It's a Santa Claus movie. It's very.
I've only seen the trailer.
But it's fun. Good. It's so much.
It's
fun.
Very fun. It's good. It's good.
It's light fare.
We've got Stillman. Yeah.
I mean, J.K. Simmons could do anything. He's just a phenomenally good actor. Like, watching Whiplash, it is so intense and so scary. I'm like, I just want to curl into a ball, you know? And I love the story behind the scenes where he's like, between takes, he's talking to the kid playing the main character, and he's like, look, I'm going to yell at you. I don't mean it, but I got to do this character. You know, he was like reassuring him because, God almighty, he's like a psychopath in this movie.
Well, and he's so charismatic that he plays Santa Claus like no, it's not the stereotype Santa Claus.
No.
You know, in any scene that he's in, he never reverts to that stereotype.
Right.
He never reverts to that.
Yeah. Right. That's what makes it good.
And he's skinny, and he's, you know, just so.
Yeah. Well, he's like muscular, you know, he's got that. Yeah. Good, and it like shows him where he's like working out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like the movie that Kurt Russell did with.
Yes.
Again, great Santa, great family.
That's true. Fun movie. Yeah.
You know, it's like MacReady is Santa Claus. You know, don't trust the elves.
But they're badasses, you know? Though. They're just
and that's what's great about them. I love these alternate like Santa Claus movies. But Red One, I hope that they do another sequel to.
That was good. Yeah. And the story was good.
It's kind of like going back to the evil ones. You know, where they're all powerful, but now they're kind of good. But they still have all that ability that they do.
I like it.
Make it up as you go.
Red One, I think it fell in the category of Elf for me, you know, like as Christmas movies, as somebody coming in with the ability
Elf was kind of fun. That made me laugh.
I love Elf. And the thing you got to do with Elf is you got to go back and watch it and watch the details of everything. Because when he is an elf in the North Pole, they're paying homage to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everything they do is forced perspective. There's no CG. You know, it's him
it's in his desk. It's so good.
And they had to get permission to have the green hat and to, you know, allow everybody to be dressed like everybody in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I thought that was great. That is a charming movie. Again, I think, you know, it's funny, but it's also very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell. Yeah, I was going to say Will Smith, and I'm like, that's not right. Will Ferrell. I love Will Ferrell. Big Will
Ferrell. I appreciate what he does.
Yeah.
And sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't.
No.
But he's got a brand new movie out where he... I forget what's called. Where he's
Casual Exposure. Fuck.
With Reese Witherspoon, where he's playing
Casual Exposure or something like that. It's not casual.
They're double booked a wedding.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same venue. Yep. And I'm like, that looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I love Reese Witherspoon.
She looks the same as she did 20 years ago. You know? She does.
Well, and if you've ever heard an interview with her, she's ridiculously smart. She reads like 2 books, 3 books a week. and can remember every fucking word of it. She's got like this eidetic memory. It's crazy.
That's great.
And she's so funny about it. She's like, oh, yeah. And they're like, what is this? And she's like, boo, and she rattles it off. And then she starts giggling. And you're like, oh, my God. That's fucking charming.
Yeah. She's a cutie pie.
Yeah, she is. The, what else?
I think the more thing about J.K. Simmons, I think he's the best J. Jonah Jameson on screen.
Ever.
I think down. So, too.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I mean, his performance is like, it's
when
like,
I first, when okay. I saw him, yeah. I was, he no,
looks,
okay.
He looks,
that's it.
He's yeah, got he it looks down. Like the comic book, yes.
He doesn't, not only looks like him, he acts like him.
Yes.
And he's how
you, yes, how you my pictures are doing that.
Yes, and he sounds like what I always imagined him to sound like. Yep, Parker, yep. You know?
Yeah.
And it, just that over the top, you know, like 0 to 60 immediately. There's no buffer. There's no you wind up. It's just boom. Yeah. You are off the bat. Yes. Yeah. It's just nothing he has been in that I haven't enjoyed.
His dad in Juno. Is
yes.
Again, you know, that story itself is so atypical.
It
you know, and it's very I don't know how to describe it, but it's very atypical. And then he's Skoda, right?
Law and Order.
Law and Order, yeah. Yeah, he's the he's nonchalant psychiatrist. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah, we'd be watching it, you know, because we, Mrs. Feather loved Law and Order, and every time he would just his face would come on, we would both go Skoda. We liked him so well.
Yeah.
What was
always Evie?
Dark always Skies.
Evie.
Was it called Dark?
Oh
Skies?
Yeah, with Sissy Spacek.
No,
oh, no.
Where he was like,
it's a science fiction.
It was like yeah, and yeah, but it was kind of playing on that, you know, it's not quite extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I think it's on Prime.
But anyway, he plays that really, how do I say, he's just matter-of-factly about it. This is what's going to happen, and this is, yeah. And he's trying to explain to him what's happening.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's kind of a weird movie. I don't know.
What's it called?
Dark series.
Dark. This is a movie, and I can't.
There's a series.
I want to say Dark Skies, but that's not. I don't think that's what I'm thinking.
The title.
Yeah.
I kind of remember seeing something about the movie
about alien.
But it plays like
alien abduction.
No.
It is, but then there are scenes like when they wake up. There's like all the glasses are stacked up on the table, you know, like a poltergeist or something. You know what I'm saying?
And,
Night
and it was
Sky,
just kind of a weird movie.
Night Sky.
Night
is
Sky.
Is that what it is?
Night Sky. One season. Yeah, it's a mini. It's a series. One season. Yeah.
I don't think that's what it is.
No?
Does that J.K. Simmons in that?
J.K. Simmons and Sissy Spacek. That's the one I'm thinking of. Maybe you're thinking about a different Dr.
No, I think that's the name I said, but I don't think that's the movie I'm thinking of.
Oh, this is a series, not a movie. But
Right.
This was a movie.
Okay.
I'll find it. Anyway. Sorry.
Whiplash, right one, Spider-Man.
What, J.K. Simmons is also the voice of Nolan in Invincible, the cartoon. The main Invincible's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Nolan. Yeah. Again, great.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So what else has anybody been watching? Anything good?
I've been going back on Prime and on Tubi. They have The Match Game from the 70s, like, you know, and I've kind of been revisiting that, like just pure nostalgia. Sometimes it's like you just see the people they pick to be on this movie just have, or this TV show just have no ability to understand wordplay and puns and what they're trying to do. You know, they're so literal with things, but it's just kind of nice to go back and want to revisit it, you know, the silliness of it.
What is that? Gene Rayburn?
Gene Rayburn, that's right. Yeah, Brett okay. Summers,
Gene
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Rayburn.
Okay. I love them because I watched them and I'm like, these people are all fucking drunk. They are all fucking lit. Every single one of them. Gene Rayburn's especially is sitting there like, And he's got that styrofoam cup that he's drinking out of. And you're like, there's fucking booze in that. You know there's booze in that.
He always says it's tea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's... They're all, like, sweaty. Like, back in the 70s, I loved TV because there was no powdering them, you know, because they were all sweaty because they were drinking so much booze. And they're just...
They filmed, like, eight shows in a day. So by the end of it, they've been smoking all... I love that they're smoking on TV. Cigars, cigarettes.
Oh, dude, yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's just fucking great. Yeah. We'll sit there and get paid, you know, to smoke cigars and try to match
and people. And get
dumb answers. Yeah, getting paid for it.
Hollywood Squares. Who was always the center one? Paul Lind. That dude, you watch some of those. He is fucking funny. And I'm like, is that scripted? Like, it has to be scripted. Like,
it was, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because you're listening to some of that and you're like, that's fucking hilarious.
But he was crazy guy.
But you did find out that, most of it was scripted.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're listening to that and you're like, that's a pretty fucking clever comeback.
From a lot of those people.
Yes, from a lot of them, yeah. But Paul Lind was always the one that got me. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, well, he just had the greatest delivery of anybody.
Yeah. Well, and it's because he looked like he was half in the bag, you know?
Yeah,
He was delivering it.
He always looked like that.
He played that weird uncle. Yeah.
Yeah, he always looked like that.
Yeah.
Probably because he was really drunk. I don't know.
Yeah, Bewitched. Yeah, Bewitched. Who was he in Bewitched?
Uncle.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. Anyway, I saw the new Beetlejuice. Don't bother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I agree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Did you see it, Dr. Ed?
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't like it either.
My conclusion is that Winona Ryder could not act her way out of a paper bag.
I like Winona Ryder. You know, she's always been cute.
But it has
the look of Beetlejuice, but it doesn't have the spirit or heart or quirkiness of it. It doesn't have the writing. It was a poor attempt to kind of go back to that. And continue with the story,
but it's flat.
It just doesn't feel the same at all. That's what the problem was. It doesn't feel like Beetlejuice. Yep. There's one scene that I saw that I'm like, okay, that's funny. It lasts about 30 seconds. I'm like, that's good. I don't remember what it was now because everything else was so bad. But it just, and then you have what was her face? The woman who comes back to get revenge. Like, what? Who was it? I mean, there's this great storyline that never really develops. There's so many things that happen that don't really make sense or come back around to it. It was just badly done, and it's so disappointing the way to lead that series.
Yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't waste my time.
What I would
unlike say, the last Ghostbusters, which I thought the two one with Harold Ramis, Ghostbusters when they the last two Ghostbusters have been pretty entertaining. I forget.
I've not seen either of them.
The one with
the kids. The one where they go to the house, which is actually has a. I know there was a really lovely scene, and I know Blue Fez loved the end of it too, because there's a really kind of a sweet moment.
Yep.
And but this last one they did was with Paul Rudd. That was okay. It's got entertaining value to it. It's worth it to check. Check it out. What didn't you like, Gadfly? I only talked over you. I'm sorry, Gadfly. What about Beetlejuice?
In Beetlejuice, it just fell flat. It didn't, and I thought Winona Ryder, whom I have a love hate. Like sometimes she's good, sometimes she's not. And this was one where you're just feeling that she's not. You know, and I think she's cute and hot and all that stuff, but she does not deliver on this. But that being said, I watched the new Hellboy, The Crooked Man. And I would highly recommend it. I was very skeptical because of the guy that they got to play it, and because I love the one with David Harbour. A lot of people poo-pooed that, and I'm like, that's actually more Hellboy than the originals. And I love the originals with
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, I think those are great too. I love those. This new one is as Hellboy as it gets.
It's a lot closer to the comics.
Oh, it's so dark, and it's shot so well.
What's this on?
I got it. And it's
out there.
It's out there. But I would highly recommend it if you have a chance to watch it. It's really well done. Yeah, I think I was so happy with it. I was half like awake and half asleep when I first watched it. I woke up and watched it again, and I thought, oh, this is really fucking cool. There's
with coffee.
Yeah, no coffee. I mean, it was good. I don't know who the actor was that plays Hellboy. I don't know anybody in that movie, and that's what I thought. That's what I liked about it. I didn't really know anybody that was in it, and it was really good. So, I would highly recommend it. Especially if you're a Hellboy fan. Which, I have been.
So, has anybody seen the new Nosferatu? The Eggers?
I have not.
Nope. Not yet.
I just watched.
I've been hearing a lot of mixed things about it. Visually, it's nice. It's pretty gory, but I'm willing to give it a try because I really love Nosferatu.
I want to give it a shot too.
Yeah.
He did The Lighthouse.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good movie.
It's a fucking phenomenal movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a movie that sent me on a fucking roller coaster ride. You know, it's one of those where I'm disgusted. I'm compelled to watch. I'm just fucking depressed. I'm like, you know, you're like, yeah, it's a good one. It's a really good one.
That's much like watching Videodrome.
Yeah. I came away from The Lighthouse thinking, okay, because I was really like skeptical about Pattinson as an actor.
Because, oh my God. You know,
Twilight. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to play Batman. But then when I saw The Lighthouse, I'm like, okay, he's going 1-1 against Willem Dafoe and holding his own. Okay.
Yeah.
That sold it. That sold it for me. And what a claustrophobic, intense movie.
That whole movie was uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, set a tone of being uncomfortable.
I consider it a horror movie. I do.
It is. I think so, too.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
In a way. But it builds up this tension. It's slow
just
burn.
Just psychological. Just being stuck out there with somebody you absolutely hated.
That's why I won't necessarily dismiss, you know, the new Nosferatu until I see it. I want to give it a shot. What do you think about, boy, this is a guy that I don't know, man. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein.
I can't wait for it. I just want to see it. I don't care.
I'm just curious.
I didn't know he was doing Frankenstein.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see.
I really want to like.
Well, there again, yeah. He's up and down for me in what I like and what I dislike. So this could go either way, you know. And I'm not so invested in the Frankenstein story as I am in the Nosferatu story. That's a whole. It's a whole kind of a different thing for me. What's that?
Oh, go ahead, Professor.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I keep on seeing nods between the original and then the 1984 versions.
Yeah, that's what I
visually, you know, so I'm intrigued by it. So, but and I'll check it out when I see it out there. But
How he looks?
It looks. There's a. It, he's
I
got
know,
that
I've
kind
seen
of
him.
He's got a fucking walrus mustache.
But you know that in Dracula.
I mean it's. Yeah, there's a whole backstory.
He doesn't look like.
I just want to see how he handles it. You know, see what he does.
I'm interested in Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein only because that's a different property than his own original stuff, and I've not been real invested in his original stuff. The Shape of Water did not hit me like it did everybody else. What was the other one? Pan's Labyrinth didn't either. I was enamored of.
I like Pan's Labyrinth, but Shape of Water was like, I wanted to like it so much, just the idea of it, and then watching it was like.
It looked nice. I love the color green. Yes. The color green's everywhere. I mean, visually, it's pretty.
It does look cool for like a 50, 60, whatever.
I agree with you, Gadfly.
Yeah.
There were some really charming parts in Shape of Water. I love the old guy and the young woman doing the dance in the when they're sitting on the couch and doing all that kind of stuff. There was a lot of
Oscar movie
build up, but it didn't compel you to like the other part about the creature and all of that
kind
of stuff. And I think Pan's Labyrinth was the same way. There was a lot of uneven. It was almost like there was a story, and then all of a sudden it threw you into the special effects, and then back into the story and back into the special effects. And I'm like, that's where Guillermo falls short sometimes with his own stuff, is that there's not a balance.
Gets caught up in the visual.
Well, and I don't even think it's that. I think he has a great story sometimes. He has great visuals. He just doesn't know how to balance the two together. He just doesn't put them together very well. With his own stuff. With his own stuff.
Yeah,
because his Hellboy stuff is his own stuff, and then
What'd you think of his what was his little
Kronos was great too. I love Kronos.
Yeah, TV series or not TV series, but on Netflix. What was his little episodic horror movie show? Damn it,
whose?
Guillermo del Toro.
About the chess.
Chronicles, or
had that chess that they made.
Yeah,
the Curiosities. Blah blah blah.
Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah, Cabinet of Curiosities.
Something like that. Yeah. I've not seen it. Yeah, it's on my list.
I found it boring.
Yeah,
I just found it. Boring.
I mean, it looks really cool.
Looks nice.
And there's some I kind of like. But ultimately, it's like you've seen it all before.
Just kind of boring. Some of it's good though. It's worth watching. Absolutely worth watching, because
I really like
even his bad stuff looks really good sometimes.
Yeah,
there's qualities to it.
What's the last with a? They have to go to the storage facility and they get the Lovecraftian creature coming after him. You knew what was happening, but it looks so cool. It does look cool.
Is it Del Toro movie?
Yes. No, it's part of that cabinet of.
Okay. I knew it sounded familiar.
It was an episode of that, yeah.
Okay.
And they go to some. Yeah, he's trying to reclaim. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
But the creature itself looks pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's up and down when you look at his catalog.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, like Pacific Rim again. It's just it shows his love for kaiju, which I appreciate. It's a popcorn movie. You know, made a lot of money.
Love it. Yeah.
I thought Nightmare Alley again looked pretty, but was way too long. I didn't see Pinocchio.
Which one was Nightmare Alley? Isn't that the one we reviewed?
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful to look at, but it's just an hour too long. And I love Crimson Peak. I really like that. I think it's visually again another beautiful.
No, I got that's one. It's like,
I didn't see At the Mountains of Madness. Lovecraft. Did anyone see that at the Mountains of Madness? Oh, it's only a short.
I know he was interested in doing that, but which would be interesting, but
Mimic. I didn't like Mimic.
I didn't like
Splice.
Mimic was horrible.
Mimic
was it's an up and down.
Up and down.
For him. Like, you can see the stuff he's doing because he has to, and then the projects that he's more passionate about.
Yeah,
he's a competent director. It's just a mixed bag of effectiveness.
Well, the one he did with Bradley Cooper, we did an episode on. I loved that movie. I thought that movie was great.
Nightmare Alley.
I loved it. Yeah, and I loved the fact that there was the black and white version, because he actually shot it in color so that it could be transferred to black and white. It was shot in a way so that it was going to transfer. And I think we had that discussion during the episode.
Yeah, we did.
Because we're looking at it. If you look at it in black and white, you're like, it looks like it was shot for a black and white movie.
Which,
to me, is amazing. And the performances in that. And I normally don't like, what is that, circuses and freak shows.
Freak shows. Carny. The carny life.
But that one's great. Other than, what's the one... that's public domain that you guys have, the Tarn Feathers, done an episode of.
We didn't. You're not talking about Freaks, are you?
Oh, you didn't do a Freaks?
No, we never did a Freaks episode.
Oh, you should, because that's a great fucking app. That's a great.
Todd Browning.
Yeah, Todd Browning, yeah. Yeah, great movie. Great movie.
He did that with Lon Chaney. What was that? The Unknown?
The Unknown.
Are you supposed to be the carny that throws the knives?
Yeah.
And he kills someone, and to avoid capture, he cuts his own arms off. But he has like some freaky like double toe or something like that.
That's a good storyline.
Yeah. Help me, Louis. There's I'm running from really, the law.
Yeah, there's
get my arms off.
Another really good story from Joe Bob Briggs is that he talks about the whole freak show thing and how it was actually, he thinks it was bad that they banned the freak shows because that was the only place that they had a place to have a family. And that a lot of those freak show were not, you know, what they thought it was. Especially, you know, like when they would go down to Florida and they'd have their time there and then they'd come back and they'd do their freak show. Because when they weren't, at that time that the freak shows were going on, they were considered throwaway. You know, nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. And that then they had these things. And then he even talks about him interviewing these people who were in the freak shows and, you know, how interesting it was that the culture was very different than what was portrayed by the people who were trying to outlaw it, you know?
Right.
I think that's fascinating to me, you know? I'm not normally fascinated by that, so.
I remember the West Hill days, you know, like CBS, 60 Minutes, whatever the fuck that was. But they go down in Florida and, like, you know, this was like 70s. And the circus, what was it? The circus, were they summered or wintered or whatever it was? Yeah. Anyway, the whole city or.
Yeah, there's a whole city down there. That's,
yeah.
Which is where Pee-wee Herman lived. That's why Pee-wee Herman lived down there. That was his, he had his old exposure was. And a lot of his routine because he lived with those people during the summer in Florida. Paul Rubens.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... I've always been fascinated with it, so...
I can't believe you guys haven't done an episode on Freaks.
Yeah, we just never did. Everybody else and their brother's done it, so we figured we'd do it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be your take on it. Come on.
That's true.
No, it's true. And that's a good movie.
Not one of us.
Yeah, but I've heard you guys do that routine where you go, one of us, one of us.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
I will use that routine.
I used to teach Freaks in my English class. One of our books, we had a chapter on our anthology. We had a chapter on freedom and human dignity. And so I thought, okay, no one has seen Freaks. I'm going to show them, because then you really realize, oh, the monster, who the monsters really are. You know, who the freaks are. You know, it's the strong man, and it's the trapeze artist, you know. And so they come away feeling that, even though it's a disturbing film in a lot of ways, they come away really being emotionally moved by it as well. And so it's still effective. It was still effective, you know, 80 years later. It's still a great movie.
I think it's a great movie. Every time I see it, I'm like, this is a masterpiece. You know, and I love the, you know, yeah. And again,
there's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's
a... M, that's a good movie.
M's such a good movie, too. Just cause, and that deals with, like, a distasteful
subject matter, yes.
Too, yeah. Yes. No, just like, yeah.
And the framing, you know, the wreck and, you know, all that stuff in that movie is just... it's great. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I really think it's... here's why it's great for me. It's not a subject that I have any interest in whatsoever. I am actually mostly repulsed by it. Because I find it repulsive. It's just not an interest or that stuff. But I watched that movie.
No, I guess.
yeah, it's heartening. It's charming. It's heartbreaking. It's got everything. It's got everything.
For as old as the movie is, I love how honest it is, and it's just.
Well, that's why it's held up. I mean, and that's that. You gotta give Brown credit for that. You know, he said, "We're not. Yeah, you know, this not. It's not an exploitation movie.
Yes,
it is not an exploitation.
Movie. Right.
No. Exactly. Right.
Yes.
And knowing how you feel right now, imagine that. You know, like a few decades. You know, prior. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of a mindset too. Seeing that on the screen. Yeah.
The other thing you were talking about, you know, the banning of the freak shows and stuff, a lot of that also had, if you go back and look at what was going on, there was a lot of exploitation at the time, some of them had it pretty good, but some of them did not. Some of the shows did not have it. They were scum. They were scummy shows, you know, and that's what started giving everything just that bad name. And, you know, and the Carney has always had that, you know, gypsy curse to
Elephant
it.
Elephant Man.
But, yeah, interesting stuff. That's a great movie. That is a great movie. Anything else?
Elephant Man. Elephant Man. Was that David Lynch?
Yeah, yes. We'll get to that in the David Lynch
episode. Yes, in the David Lynch we'll talk about.
Next episode, sure. Or next two episodes.
Will be David.
Nice segue.
Yeah.
Hey, I write a segue. Wait, did they?
I wrong a segue.
I'm on a hoverboard.
Did they even? Are segues even around anymore? I don't know.
I think they are. I think you can still get them.
Are they?
Okay. Are they? Who knows?
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say.
Captain Bart, the blasé pirate. Are they?
Are they?
The Dita Shuffle.
That's the name of this episode, Blasé Pirate. Chester's like, are?
Hendrik, turn out the strobes. I'm getting the
fish. We should have been talking about Wim Wenders and Jörg Buttgereit with this music.
Yes. Oh my God! Hey, Joe Bob Briggs brought up Joe Jörg Buttgereit. Multiple
Did
times.
He?
Yeah.
Had to dig him up, but.
Well, here's what I'll say about that show is that Darcy, the male girl, is as knowledgeable as he is about shit. Horror movies, because he'll
she
be like.
She has to read the mail.
Well, she's like saying stuff, and he goes, "Holy shit, Darcy, where the fuck do you get this?" And then she's like rattling shit off. Her knowledge of Giallo is amazing. Okay. And you have been listening to.
Sugar Free Giallo.
On Cemetery Radio.
Same radio.
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 That's right.
That's what he does.
The Giallo.
That's when he's in Italy.
Joe.
UnsaneRadio@gmail.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook, unsaneradio.com, to see all the pretty pictures in their full glory. Tarandfeather.com. I think there is a website out there. I haven't been to it in probably 3 or 4 years, but I think it's out there.
It's floating.
You can find a few of our episodes on the YouTube, Unsane Radio.
And Vimeo.
Unsane Radio. That's the other guy. The other guy's Tarn Feathers, Psycho Cinema. Yeah, there you go.
And the Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTubes and Montag Lewis on Instagram. Heavy Metal Horror.
Hey.
Sizzlin' Bacon will be back with us next week. He's been
hopefully flipped.
You mean so, bacon? Bacon?
Bacon, bacon.
Right. Bacon, bacon, bacon,
bacon, bacon, bacon. It's in a nonstick pan.
And also, just go to Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and look up We Freaks, W-E-E.
F-R-E-E-K-Z.
How do you spell it?
Thank you.
Family-friendly webcomic.
Well, speaking of freaks,
and it teaches you how to spell.
That's right. Something Professor Feather has yet to learn.
I haven't let that. I haven't watched all the series yet. I haven't looked at all of it.
Brought to you by the letter P for Professor Feather.
And the Midnight Gadfly has been fired from his adult diaper gig. He has tested the integrity of the product.
We have met the enemy, and it is anus.
It's the anus.
They think they were cheapy so they can contain those kind of monsters.
No containment.
Right.
It's another black hole.
It's the spray that got away.
Talk about Event Horizon.
Virtual butt sack!
Are you on it? Are you on it?